Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schultz, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
For our scripture reading today, let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. Let us hear the Word of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible that you have given to us. We thank you that it's your infallible word and that we can put our full confidence in everything that it says. Now, O Father, we pray that you will send forth your Holy Spirit in great convicting power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today, more than ever, we need the powerful preaching of the Word of God to permeate this nation. We're trying to solve our own problems and leaving God out of the picture, and it's not going to work. Even now, we as a nation are under judgment because of our sins, and yet we can't recognize this. Our greatest need as a people is a national spiritual revival. When God sends revival, then our nation will be able to be great again. When men come under conviction of sin and fall to their knees and cry out for the mercy of God, then there will be hope for the land. That is why we need powerful preaching to fill this land. Only then will there be hope for the future. George Whitefield in the 1740s came to America and through powerful preaching of the Word of God brought hope to this land. God poured out His Spirit in a mighty way and the whole nation changed. Preaching may seem foolish to the natural man, but it is the power of God and it can change a whole country. When pulpits are being set aside and preaching taking a back seat to other things, we need to lift up our voice and say, wait, you're wrong. Preaching is important. Don't take it away from us. Paul wrote the Corinthians about the importance of the preaching of the cross. Our text for today is 1 Corinthians 1 and verses 23 and 24 where it says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The preaching of the cross has power. We are trying all the wrong things to solve our problems. This country is under judgment because of our sins. And we're not going to be able to solve all our problems. Some things may get worse. God will not be silent while we go on sinning against Him. We cannot separate ourselves from God and continue to be blessed as a nation. We need the powerful preaching of the Word of God to come back and fill this land. Only then will there be hope. We need to go back and learn from previous generations. Our land became great because of God's blessings on us, not because we are a great people. We were considered a great people because God had blessed us. He blessed us because our forefathers were faithful and honored Him. This generation is turning away from God, and we will all pay the consequences unless God intervenes, as he has in the past, and sends a true spiritual awakening into our midst. We need the preaching of the cross to saturate this land, and may God send such preaching in our day. Now let us see in the first place, the center of our preaching is the cross. Verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." This is the Christian message. No other religion has such a message. Our nation has been great because the Christian message has filled this land in the past. And when we try to eradicate that message from this land, we're cutting our own throats. Augustine wrote, "The cross was a pulpit in which Christ preached love to the world." When we reject the preaching of the cross, we are rejecting the love of God. Ian Murray wrote, "The faith and work of the gospel ministry centers on the atonement. The purpose of gospel preaching is to make known what God has done in the cross of Jesus Christ." And then he writes, "It is only the disclosure of love which can persuade the sinner of God's readiness and willingness to pardon, and thus the necessity that love be made known to all indefinitely in the free offer of the gospel. Love is the great attraction. Love stands foremost in the gospel appeal. It is not the overheavy load of sin," says John Bunyan, "but the discovery of mercy that makes a man come to Jesus Christ." Murray goes on to write to Israel, he says, "All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." It is of men under God's wrath that Scripture says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These are truths to be preached without hesitation. This great message of the cross is to be offered to a sinful people, and we are a sinful and disobedient nation of people, and we need to hear the preaching of the cross that we may experience the power of God in our land. Christ offers himself in the preaching of the cross. Murray writes, "It is not ultimately preachers who offer Christ to others, but Christ, divine love incarnate, who speaks in the gospel and offers himself fully and freely to the most undeserving, if they will but receive him. Christ offers himself in mercy to the worst, even as Whitfield used to say, to the devil's castaways." Leon Morris writes, "In contrast with this, Paul sets the preaching of Christ crucified. The verb preach is that appropriate to the action of a herald. The message came from God, not the preacher. In this sense, it is a peculiarly Christian term. It is used little, if at all, in this way in the classics, in the Septuagint, or in current religious systems such as the Mystery Religions. Crucified is a perfect participle. Not only was Christ once crucified, but he continues in the character of the crucified one. The crucifixion is permanent in its efficacy and its effects. The Christian message is the cross of Christ. This is what we need at this hour in our land. Instead of pushing the Christian message out of the public square, we ought to welcome it and encourage it, for it is our only hope as a people. It is beyond the power of man. In our own power, we cannot save our country. The judgments will get worse, and we will not be able to solve our problems. Yet the gospel of the cross of Christ is beyond human power, and it can change whole peoples. John Calvin wrote, "Paul shows by this antithesis how badly Christ is received, and that this does not come about by his fault or by the natural inclination of mankind, but that its cause lies in the perverseness of those who had not been enlightened by God. For no stumbling block prevents the elect of God, whether Jews or Gentiles, from coming to Christ, so as to find assurance of salvation in him." Paul contrasts power with the stumbling block, which arose from the humility of Christ, and he sets wisdom over against foolishness. The substance of it is therefore this: "I know that nothing but signs can have any effect on the stubbornness of the Jews, and that in reality only an empty kind of wisdom can soften the scornful contempt of the Greeks. We ought, however, to place no importance on this fact, seeing that no matter how our Christ offends the Jews with the humility of his cross and is laughed to scorn by the Greeks, he is, nevertheless, for all the elect of every nation, both the power of God for salvation, for overcoming these stumbling blocks, and the wisdom of God for taking away what masquerades as wisdom. Today we have college professors who think they are all wise and have the universe all figured out. They shake their fist in the face of God and say, "We don't need you." Yet their wisdom is nothing compared to the cross of Christ. Only in that cross can the power of God be found. The preaching of that cross can silence with great power those who mock at God. Leon Morris writes, "But the Jews will have none of it. To them a crucified Messiah is a complete impossibility, a stumbling block, an occasion of offense. Nor is it any matter better with the Greeks. To them it is foolishness, sheer unmitigated folly. God would never act like that, they say. The crucifixion is the heart of the Christian faith, but it is acceptable to neither Jew nor Greek." Greeks in this verse is not the same word as that in the verses immediately before and after. It is usually rendered Gentiles and is the ordinary word for all non-Jewish peoples. Paul includes all mankind in the rejection of the crucified Messiah. Man, by his own power, rejects the cross of Christ. But when the preaching of the cross comes in power to a people, God overcomes man's power and changes hearts and minds. Now let us see in the second plate that this preaching of the cross is powerful. Again, our text says in verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." It has the power to save the lost. This preaching of the cross has the power that no other message has. It can save sinners. Our greatest need today in America is the power of the cross. Only can that power redeem us from our sins. The nation is sinful and wicked and in a state of rebellion against God. If the nation continues in this way, it will not last. Yet the preaching of the cross has the power to cure our sinfulness and rebellion. It is this power that we need so desperately. Congress or the president will not be able to save this nation. Only the power of God through the preaching of the cross can bring salvation to a land that has turned its back on God. It is a power greater than human power. The power of the cross is a power greater than human power. F.W. Groshade writes, "Paul knows of other people as well, them that are called. The call to salvation occupies a rather important place in 1 Corinthians. It is here connected on the one side with them that believe, by which words it is further explained. On the other side is related to preaching, which points to yet another aspect. The power of the preaching is that it calls to faith. God himself calls through it, and he calls definite persons, either Jew or Greeks, who are at this point one. To them that are called and believe, the crucified Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This wisdom, which, as we observe, the world thinks foolishness, nevertheless, true wisdom, because it saves sinners." The preceding word power means that God exercises power by it. The quiet of death prevails in the world with its wisdom. Just think what life is like in the world of the Greeks, despite their ethics. God, however, exercises power unto salvation through Christ crucified. The life of God's children is quite different from that of the sons of the world. There is a wisdom of God which works and saves in Christ. The world, because it despises this wisdom, lies under judgment. God's power is greater than man's power. It can change hearts and minds and bring men into the kingdom of God. Leon Morris writes, "But that is not the whole story. If the natural man, be he Jew or Greek, instinctively rejects the message of the cross, the man who is called of God, Jew or Greek, welcomes it. The relevant fact is that they have been called by God. All else is unimportant. Here, as is usual in Paul's writings, called has the thought of effectual calling. It implies that the call has been heeded and obeyed. Men called like this know that the crucified Christ means power. Before they were called, they could not overcome the power of sin, but now they can. Christ is the power of God. For sin-sick people, only the power of cross can cure them. That is what this nation needs today. We need the power of the cross of Christ preached in every place in this land. And then thirdly, let us see the true wisdom of God. Again, our text says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." It's through the cross, the preaching of the cross, that salvation comes to the world. The preaching of the cross brings salvation to the world. John Calvin wrote, "Although there is nothing in the world deserving of God's favor, he nevertheless shows he is favorable to the whole lost world when he calls all without exception to faith in Christ, which is indeed an entry into life." And Jonathan Edwards wrote, "It is past all contradiction that Christ died to give all an opportunity to be saved." Edwards would urge his listeners to accept of the offered love of him who is the only begotten Son of God. Ian Murray writes, "The good news of a provided forgiveness is to be as universally proclaimed as is the command to repent." Even the preaching of the gospel itself is a blessing to all men, whether they accept it or not. The very fact that God is giving them the offer of his love and salvation is a blessing to any people. Murray goes on to say, "There is a love of God which goes forth to lost men and is manifested in the manifold blessings which all men without distinction enjoy. A love in which non-elect persons are embraced, and a love which comes to its highest expression in the entreaties, overtures, and demands of gospel proclamation. To reject the preaching of the cross is to reject the salvation of God for the world. He sent the gospel into the world that it might be saved. Any country that rejects the preaching of the cross is rejecting the love of God. What we need in this nation today is not something that man can achieve by his own wisdom and power. What we need is the wisdom and power of God, and that comes only in the preaching of the cross of Christ. That's what we need as a people." When George Whitefield crossed the Atlantic from England, he came to America to give her the preaching of the cross, and when he did, America changed for the better. We need that same powerful preaching today. It's a wisdom beyond man's wisdom. Man by his own wisdom cannot save himself, but God's wisdom can. His wisdom is the cross of Christ. John Owen writes, "He was lifted up between heaven and earth, that all creatures might see that God had set him forth to be a propitiation." Leon Morris wrote, "He is also the wisdom of God. This whole passage is concerned with wisdom. The Corinthians had evidently emphasized it. The Greeks habitually sought it out. The cross seems nothing else than arrant folly. Yet that cross, whereon the Son of God hung for men, proved to be God's power. In it sin was defeated. And it proved to be also God's wisdom. The wisdom of the world could not find God, nor had it power over evil. The cross revealed God, and it gave men the power they needed. On the level of the search for wisdom, that foolishness of God proved itself to be the true wisdom." And Matthew Henry wrote, "To those who are called and saved, he is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Those who are called and sanctified, who receive the gospel and are enlightened by the Spirit of God, discern more glorious discoveries of God's wisdom and power in the doctrine of Christ crucified than in all his other works. Those who are saved are reconciled to the doctrine of the cross and led into an experimental acquaintance with the mysteries of Christ crucified." In 1740, George Whitefield was in America preaching the message of the cross. It was God's gift to this nation. He preached all up and down the eastern seaboard, and thousands flocked to hear him. He preached everywhere. In his journal, he records words like, "Indeed, the word often came like a hammer and a fire." The audiences were more numerous than ever, and it was supposed not less than 4,000 were in and about the meeting house. When I preached my farewell sermon, the room was large, and most were in tears, as though they were weeping at their Savior's cross. And then he writes, "In the evening I went, privately as I thought, to a friend's house, but the people were so eager to hear the word that in a short time, I believe, more than 1,000 were before the door, beside those that were within, and filled every room in the house." At Boston, he writes, "preached in the morning to about 6,000 hearers in the Reverend Dr. Sewall's meeting house, and afterwards on the common to about 8,000, and again at night to a thronged company at my lodgings, and then the next day, immediately after on the common, to about 15,000, and again at my lodgings to a greater company than before. And then the next day," he writes, "preached this morning at the Reverend Mr. Webb's meeting house to 6,000 hearers in the house, besides great numbers standing about the doors, most wept for a considerable time. At Cambridge he preached to the students, and then in the afternoon I preached again in the court, when I believe there were about 7,000 hearers. The Holy Spirit melted many hearts." On another day, at another meeting house, he writes, "a gracious melting was discernible through the whole congregation." And then in the evening, he writes, "I exhorted and prayed as usual at my lodgings, and I found a great alteration in my hearers. They now began to melt and weep under the word. Oh, that the Lord may beat them down with the hammer of his word till the heart of stone be entirely taken away." In Roxbury, he records, "preached in the morning at Roxbury to many thousands of people from a little ascent. Several came afterwards to me, telling how they were struck at that time under the word." Again in Boston, he writes, "went with the governor in his coach to the common, where I preached my farewell sermon to near 20,000 people, a sight perhaps never before seen in America. It being nearly dusk before I had done, the sight was more solemn. Numbers, great numbers, melted in tears when I talked of leaving them." At Worcester and Leicester, he recorded, "I preached in the open air to some thousands. The word fell with weight. It carried all before it." Whitfield was only 25 years old in 1740 when he preached to thousands in America, and the first great awakening was in full swing. He would cross the ocean 13 times and eventually would die in America. Our forefathers heard the message of the cross, and they repented and fled to Christ. Today we need that same message to sweep America again. We need another great awakening to bring us out of our sinful rebellion and to turn this nation back to God. Pray that once again the preaching of the cross will permeate America, and that multitudes will throng to hear that message preached all over the land. And what about you? The message of the cross is for you. Jesus Christ died for you. God offers his love to you. Now hear that message of the cross and repent at once and flee to Christ. Embrace his cross and become his disciple. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the preaching of the cross. We thank you for George Whitefield, who came to this land in the 1740s and proclaim your word, the word of the cross, with great power. We thank you for the thousands who came to hear him, for the thousands who came to Christ. And we thank you that through the preaching of the cross, the whole nation was changed. Now, O Father, we're living in a time of great sin and rebellion in this land. And we pray, O Lord, that you will once again send the preaching of the cross to this nation. We pray that the preaching of the cross will be preached with great power throughout the land, that you would pour out your Spirit in great convicting power, that the nation as a whole would turn back to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Our web address is www.watchmenradio.org. That's watchmenradio.org. www.watchmenradio.org.